The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
It's felt like nothing's changing until now. We're starting to notice a shift in the energy. I feel it, and I'm sure you do too. The American people are refusing to live the same endless loop of crime, COVID, and counterfeit news. So let's start there. The entire legacy media is imploding. After the Russia hoax, MSNBC was toast, and Rachel knows that. The legacy media is dying, losing credibility, losing audience, and clinging to power by trying to censor honest and fresh voices who threaten their stake in the game and threaten their control of the conversation and flow of information. This seismic shift is not just happening with what we're watching on TV. It's also in how we're feeling about the streets. The Defund the Police movement is dead. The crime wave killed it. Radical DAs and the war on bail soaking the streets in blood. The people have had enough. The American spirit's bouncing back in our cities after hitting rock bottom. And it's not just crime people have had enough of. It's COVID, too. Just ask our friendly neighbors from the north. That's when you know it's over, when the Canadians turn on you. Anthony Fauci's been exposed as a total fraud. His lockdowns were costlier than the virus. So after all we've been through, the Great Awakening is here. We're seeing it before our own eyes. There's real energy out there. You can feel it. You can almost taste it. Do you feel it, Glenn?
Oh, for sure. You can feel the power shifting from these older power centers like news networks and even some of these mass media outlets who used to have the capacity when they united to instantly destroy somebody, to demand their deplatforming and have it done overnight. And now, as you said, when they attack, they're essentially making their target stronger because they fail.
And I was walking on foot because I couldn't get through the traffic with the funeral today. And I spoke to a lot of officers out on the street, and you get chills. There's something here in the air in New York City with the crime situation, with the COVID situation. Have you felt it where you are? Because, I mean, something is turning.
Yeah, it is turning, but.
Yeah, the tide is turning. You heard it here first. My father was telling our church about that back in early to mid-November, a few months ago, and we've drawn attention to it in recent weeks on this program. And there you see, that's Jesse Waters from his Fox, his new Fox show last night, which is pulling in huge ratings, by the way. Even as we see networks like CNN continue to implode, with its president stepping down yesterday and all of the mysterious reasons why that could have happened over a relationship that everyone knew was going on, there's definitely more to that story. Rachel Maddow stepping down, Chris Cuomo gone, Don Lemon in a sexual harassment suit. I mean, just all of these people, and so many of them, attackers of Donald Trump, attacked him relentlessly for years and years and years. Start with the alphabet A, Avenatti, all the way through to Z, Zucker. Everyone falling by the wayside, it seems. The tide definitely is turning. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream of this show, the audio stream, on CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3, on that platform. They bring the audio to you live every day. It goes right into 11 million homes around the United States. And they also replay the show a few times on Channel 3 and Channel 6 of their platform as well. To get to the live video of this show, you've got to go to our website, thetrumpet.com. That's thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you to the live feed every day, 11 a.m. here in Oklahoma, which, by the way, today in Oklahoma, as it is over quite a lot of the United States, blizzard-like conditions. I think we've got 5-6 inches of snow out there. Really cold temperatures now for today and tomorrow, I believe. So hopefully you're staying warm. We're going around campus as slow as possible. College classes continue. The high school classes and those in the elementary grades are online today for their schooling. So the work continues. Of course, the Trumpet Daily continues as well. The tide is turning. Tomorrow's news today. That's what we say about our Trumpet magazine. We've had that as a tagline for decades. Others have come along and borrowed that from us. But this is the very latest issue of the Trumpet, the rise of German industry. We had someone that I think he has a conservative blog. He contacted us recently. He read my father's article, Why Germany Just Betrayed America. He said it was a great article, and he was hoping to interview my father because he says, you know, you guys are getting it right about Germany. No one else is talking about this. He says, I've been reading the Trumpet for years. Wait until he gets this issue. The rise of German industry. I've been meaning to get to this piece from George Friedman. It was from last weekend on the German question. The German question. It says, regardless of how the Ukraine crisis ends, one thing present but often overlooked is the German question. It's a question that has hounded Europe for centuries. After the Napoleonic Wars, the concern was whether Germany would unite into a single state. The Germans, especially the leaders of their fractious countryside, worried about this too. For in an age of monarchs and emperors, there can only be one ruler. It says, but for the rest of Europe, the prospect of a revived Holy Roman Empire, where have you heard this before? A revived Holy Roman Empire, a once powerful entity, even without the sense of unity or shared German identity, was frightening. Friedman says, the possibility that it might share Prussia's militarism made their fears all the more acute. I mean, he's just talking about some history here. You can go back and see these revivals, one after another after another. And in many cases, German dominance. Further on, it says, Germany emerged, this is after World War II now, Germany emerged not only as the major economic power of the Bloc, speaking of Europe, but also the de facto arbiter of European affairs. It says, obscured by the Cold War, the German question clarified itself again. Germany was the dominant force in Europe. Following World War II, what the leaders of the United States and Britain and even Russia set out to do to prevent Germany from dominating ever again. And yet look at what happened. It says here, for Germany, life after World War II, but especially after the Cold War, was about economics. It achieved through the EU what it couldn't achieve since 1871. Domination of Europe. I mean, it already has domination. It's already achieved this. It says, and it did so without the kind of violence that had ripped the continent apart for centuries. Well, we're here to tell you that the violence is coming. Herbert Armstrong spoke of this for decades. What's prophesied in your Bible, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, it's now forming, and you're really seeing in the way Germany has behaved over the whole dispute with Ukraine and Russia. The bigger storyline here is that they're stabbing America in the back. That's the article that this blogger was complimentary of. And this issue is right along those lines. The rise of German industry. What happens to Europe and the rest of the world when German industry is as powerful as it's becoming today? If you aren't a subscriber to the Trumpet magazine, call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and request your free subscription to the Trumpet magazine, a free 1-year subscription coming right into your mailbox every month. Of course, you can get to all the articles that we print on our website. You can get to them ahead of time there. You can get a PDF. You can print out the PDF of the entire magazine if you like. Just go to our website, thetrumpet.com. And remember, thetrumpet.com/live to get to this program, The Trumpet Daily, every weekday morning. Well, the tide, back to the tide, as you heard there from that Fox News montage, the tide is turning. Our church had a church-wide fast in early November, and it was soon after that that my father, in a message that he gave to the church, talked about the turning tide. And this was right around the time when we first were made aware of the Omicron variant, the cold, basically, which also, and this is pretty big news, it exposed the fraud of the vaccines and the mandates and the lockdowns because, well, the vaccine was supposed to end all of this, right? And yet here comes this variant, a weak one at that, but it just spreads like wildfire all across Europe, all across the United States. Where's that clip? Play the clip from Rachel Maddow's show. This is her early last year, about a year ago, when the vaccines were just being rolled out.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Just a whole bucket load of lies right there. And yet it's still on Twitter. It's still on YouTube. You can get to those clips. We've played this one before, actually. Misinformation. We hear so much about disinformation. And these frauds in the legacy media, they say it's all coming from Joe Rogan or Robert Malone or a Trump supporter or the truckers in Canada or parents in Loudoun County. What you heard right there was a lot of misinformation, and Omicron exposed it. It certainly did. And look at all the other crises that this illegitimate administration, the fake presidency, Joe Biden, look at what he's navigated his way through over the past 12 months. A collapsing economy, broken supply chain lines, inflation, runaway inflation. And here lately, I mean, failed legislation, Build Back Better. That didn't get through. The filibuster couldn't get that going through. There's a lot of, and of course, a lot of the jobs figures, I've got that later on in my my notes here. They were expecting 200,000 additional jobs in January, the Biden administration. As it turns out, they lost 300,000 jobs. So that's a 500,000 differential. Hoping to add 200,000, instead 300,000 jobs were cut in January, the month that just ended a few days ago. And this is from CNBC. Companies cut jobs in January for the first time in more than a year as the spread of the COVID Omicron variant appeared to hit hiring. Well, they're blaming it on Omicron, but I guess you can't have it both ways. Well, the vaccine's doing its job, and at least the variant's not as strong. And if you do get the COVID again, you're not going to die from it. But then at the same time, blame Omicron for all of these troubles in the economy, for the inflation, for the job losses. A lot of these losses, by the way, they're coming from small businesses. They're the ones that were hurt the hardest in the lockdown. The lockdowns, remember, that didn't work? I gave you that report yesterday. This is from Johns Hopkins, by the way. These are like 28 experts, 28 scholars, 28 scientists. They're right up there with Harvard, with Oxford, with Stanford. We're told, trust the science. We follow the science. And so Johns Hopkins comes out yesterday with its study saying that the lockdowns did not help to prevent the spread or to save people from dying of COVID. And yet look at what the lockdowns actually did do. Look at how much stuff, look at what it did to the economy, to schools, to children, to people wrestling with addictions. CNBC says, from a business side, well, that's from the previous one. Let me just give you that Johns Hopkins report. I read this yesterday. Lockdowns in the U.S. and Europe had little or no impact in reducing deaths from COVID-19, according to a new analysis by researchers at Johns Hopkins University. I also gave you that report yesterday coming out of the U.K., where it says the COVID flu, no deadlier than just an ordinary flu. We're finding all of this out now. And Rachel Maddow and them, they can get away with spreading misinformation, but it's catching up with them. It's catching up to them. What does she know? Why is she stepping down? She's the most popular one of the left-wing networks. She's stepping down or taking a leave of absence, leaving it open for her to take more than the one that she's taking here in the next few months. And then you see Zucker leaving CNN with all of these mysterious questions surrounding his departure. A lot of trouble. And then these new programs coming out on Fox News, incredibly popular. Joe Rogan, 11 million viewers watching his podcast. All these truckers driving to Ottawa, and people, as I've been covering, turning out tens of thousands of them to show their support. The tide is definitely turning, as Jesse Waters said. You can feel it. You can feel it. You can almost smell it. What about that funeral for those slain police officers in New York City? Did you see a picture, a shot of the crowd of officers that turned out in support of the police? What a different climate we're in compared to a year and a half ago when the police were running for cover. Literally and figuratively, the police, that was public enemy number one. We needed to defund the police. You don't hear anything about that anymore. The tide is definitely turning. No deadlier than the flu. No wonder that people from all over Canada and even the United States are joining the truckers. They're tired of it, and all that the leadership up there can do is run and hide. And then you hear this talk of Trudeau now bringing in the military, perhaps, to deal with this problem. He loves the Antifa rallies. He loves the Antifa burning and rioting, but he can't talk to those truckers. Think about the villains that these the ones that these communists aim for. You've got truckers, you know, people transporting food, and then now nurses, or at least the unvaccinated ones, parents, they're a villain, they're the enemy. And then children, you hear these crazy, ridiculous threats aimed at little children for not wearing masks. Even as the elites, as I've noted earlier this week, can carry on maskless wherever it is that they go. We'll get to some of these clips here in just a second. Listen, though, to the fake president from yesterday. I guess he's done such a great job of shutting down the virus that now he's moving on to cancer, believe it or not. This is clip two.
In the last 2 years of COVID-19 pandemic, it's taken more than the pandemic has taken more than 800,000 American lives. But that same period of time, cancer has claimed 1.2 million American lives. Year in and year out, folks, doctors' optimism and fearlessness embodies what our cancer moonshot is all about. We can do this. I promise you, we can do this. All those we lost, all those we miss, we can end cancer as we know it.
Fresh off his fail to shut down the virus, now he promises to shut down cancer. This is unbelievable. How many Americans or Canadians or Australians, how many do you think this is a message that resonates with America at large? And don't you like how that, well, for once, he actually gives some perspective on the COVID hoax. Oh, you mean over the last 2 years, we've actually seen more people die of cancer than COVID? That's right. People do die. It's a huge nation, the United States, 330 some million people. There's millions of Americans dying every year. So let's look at some of the percentages. Is it worse than the flu? Well, judging by the study from the UK, I guess not. Did the lockdowns help? Well, going by the Johns Hopkins study, I guess not. Do masks help? Well, turn to the resident expert at CNN. Lena, I forget her last name. Yeah, they don't work. They don't work. Cloth masks. But make the children strap it onto their face or they're suspended. Is COVID even dangerous for young people, for children? Never mind. Never mind that. Listen, put on the mask. And hopefully in a few days here, the FDA will approve jabs for six-month-olds. This is Joe Biden again from yesterday, clip 3.
Just as we harness science to develop cutting-edge COVID-19 vaccines. Just as we harness science to develop cutting-edge COVID-19 vaccines and treatments, we'll bring a fierce sense of urgency to the fight against cancer. The goal is to cut the cancer death rate in half in the next 25 years.
It's just really, it's almost comical. There they are bragging about the vax. The vax that, according to VAERS, is killing 500 Americans, 400 or 500 Americans every week. This is from the Daily Mail. Greek footballer, age 21, dies after suffering cardiac arrest on the pitch at a stadium where there was no defibrillator and the ambulance took 20 minutes to arrive. I guess the Daily Mail is blaming it on that. The larger question is, why are footballers collapsing on the field? This happened last night in Greece. Collapsed 5 minutes into the third-tier match on Wednesday. The player could not be revived by club staff, and there was no defibrillator. Incident comes after a series of high-profile collapses among footballers. Shall I read that part again? Incident comes after a series of high-profile collapses among footballers. What are we to make of this? Well, listen to this former footballer and his take, clip 7.
I've never seen anything like it. I played for 17 years. I don't think I saw one person in 17 years have to come off a football pitch with breathing difficulties, clutching their heart, heart problems. You know, there have been very rare occurrences, Mark Vivian Foe, Fabrice Wamba, very high profile stuff, but they were few and far between, and the reason you remember them is because they were so few and far between and they were eye-opening things. The last year, it's just been unbelievable how many people, not just footballers, sports people in general, you know, you've had tennis players, you've had cricketers, basketball players, just how many are just keeling over. And at some point, surely you have to say, this isn't right. This needs to be investigated.
At some point, it needs to be investigated. Well, maybe that point is sooner than we realize as this tide continues to turn. He says that over the course of his 17-year career, you know, the one or two incidents that stand out in his mind stand out because they were so rare. An injury, a catastrophic injury or some kind of collapse happening on the pitch. But he says in the last year, it's just happening all the time. We need to investigate this. We need to look into this. This isn't right, what's happening. A 21-year-old in a Greek soccer league collapsing and dying last night, heart attack, cardiac arrest. Why? Why is this happening? Well, if you had some honest journalists in the media, and really this covers both far to the left and far to the right, when it comes to the vaccine, when it comes to the stolen election, even Fox News, there are certain subjects that are no-go areas for Fox News as well. And then those that are willing to even bring it up, Joe Rogan, OAN, then the movement is to blot them out. It's not even, you cannot even be curious. You can't even ask the question. Listen to Jen Psaki as she's calling for, of course, there's this movement in the radical left to call for Spotify to deplatform Joe Rogan's show. And she's asked a question here at the White House yesterday, and listen to how she responds. Clip 6.
He said that tech companies have an important role to play in stopping misinformation because they are the predominant places where misinformation spreads. Does the White House and the administration think this is a satisfactory step?
Our hope is that all major tech platforms and all major news sources, for that matter, be responsible and be vigilant to ensure the American people have access to accurate information on something as significant as COVID-19. That certainly includes Spotify. So this disclaimer, it's a positive step, but we want every platform to continue doing more to call out mis and disinformation while also uplifting accurate information.
Spotify needs to do more, says the White House. Spotify, I think it's a Swedish company. And so here's this illegitimate administration saying, Spotify, this Swedish company, needs to do more to blot out Joe Rogan. Now, in certain cases, you heard it yesterday, Whoopi Goldberg, now she needs to, we need to, I just saw a tweet from David French, the never Trumper. We need to forgive. We need to welcome Whoopi back. She said she's sorry. And then someone pulls up an old tweet of another one that was blotted out from a few years ago, and he was cheering it on. These people, so many hypocrites, so many communists, but they're being exposed like cockroaches under the glaring light. They're being exposed. And as you heard at the top, the tide is turning. Listen to this fascist woman. I think she's the assistant principal at Loudoun County. You know about Loudoun County. They love transgenders and they hate parents. Think about that. They love the transgenders, but they despise parents. This is her, an exchange she's having with a parent, talking about the school or the county's mask policies. Clip 9.
Until you arrive, your children will be held in an in-school restriction situation here at school. It's important that I point out to you that they are not allowed on campus or on Loudoun County public school property. Starting tomorrow, it will be considered trespassing. So it's important that I make that statement to you.
How long can they be suspended for?
The guidelines that we're receiving from the county is student suspensions will end as soon as they are fully following mitigation policies.
Got to follow the rules or we'll send your kids home. We'll suspend them. They might even be guilty of trespassing, just like the January 6th protesters. Listen, if they don't do what we tell them to do, we're going to go after them. Doesn't matter how young they are either. This is their thinking, you see. These are the targets, the children, the school children, the parents, the truckers that are transporting food and other supplies. These are the targets of the radical left. And of course, the rules that they impose on others. They don't obey them themselves, as I covered with you yesterday. I told you about the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, just laughing, smiling away, fellowshipping in those expensive box seats at that football game on Sunday, and doing it all maskless. Eric Garcetti. He's the mayor of Los Angeles. He, too, was pictured without a mask. And listen to his explanation for that. Clip 5.
I wore my mask the entire game. And when people ask for a photograph, I hold my breath and I put it here and people could see that. There's a 0% chance of infection from that.
Oh, he holds his breath when he takes the masks off. That's what. So all of his pictures are with. He's like that in the photos, right? I mean, this is insanity. Where is this in the science? Wear a mask at all times, especially if you're children. But if you do take it off, then hold your breath? Seriously? This is like comedy gold if it weren't so serious. How do you explain this insanity? It's there in the news cycle every single day. That man is the mayor of Los Angeles. He can take his mask off because he's holding his breath, he tells us. And he says it with a straight face. Listen to Jo Behar. She's on The View. She was there with Whoopi when Whoopi was saying that race wasn't a factor at all in the Holocaust. She said this yesterday about mask wearing. Clip 10.
It is a little annoying that Gorsuch, who's supposedly pro-life, won't wear a mask.
Gorsuch, that's the Supreme Court justice. She's annoyed. She's really hot and bothered by the fact that Gorsuch won't wear a mask all the time. But Garcetti, fine. Newsom, that's fine. As I see in this clip right here, she's not wearing a mask either. So maybe she's holding her breath while she's carrying out the commentary. Who knows? Who knows how they justify their own rule breaking? These elites, they thumb their nose at the political opposition, at ordinary Americans, at truckers, at children even. And people are beginning to wake up. It's like Jesse Waters said. I mean, if you're alienating ordinary Canadian citizens, some of the nicest people in the world, then you're really unpopular. Think about all of these unpopularity polls and things that we're seeing regarding Biden, Trudeau in Canada, these authoritarians down in Australia. The tide is turning, and you can begin to feel it, says Jesse Waters. You can begin to feel or even smell the fact that it's different now. It's a fast-moving news cycle for sure. And as you see, the total collapse of the legacy media and the exposure that's put upon these communists in government, you come back to some of the prophecies that we've referred you to in the Trumpet magazine and in our booklets. Great Again, America Under Attack. If you haven't already, call our operators today and request those booklets and become a Trumpet subscriber. The toll-free number in the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
yesterday on the program, we talked about that foundational truth, the most foundational truth in the Bible, that role of the Father, God the Father, of course, putting that office inside of every family, just to remind us of how central he is to the God family, to the purpose that God is working out here below. And we noted how that the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Highest, that when he came to this earth in the flesh, the Word made flesh, as John 1 says, he came and declared the Father. He was right in the bosom of the Father, John 1 and verse 18. And his role, his mission, his ministry was about declaring the Father. He had a message, and that message was not about himself. It was about the Father. It was about the Father's gospel. It was about the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. And all through his ministry, Jesus just came, he just kept coming back to this point that, look, I cannot do anything of him by myself. The works that you see in me, it's of the Father. Everything that I'm here to do, it's to support and to please the Father. He went away often to talk to his Father in heaven because he had to stay in the bosom to fulfill all of God's will. You have to overlook a lot of scriptures in the Bible in order to make Jesus Christ the center of the gospel that he preached. The Laodicean ministry following Herbert Armstrong's death back in the late 1980s, they changed the gospel. They put the focus right on Jesus Christ. And even there, it was flawed. It wasn't accurate. It wasn't based on the Bible. But it wasn't carrying out what Jesus Christ himself did. We're to follow in his steps. They stopped declaring the Father, and everything revolved around Jesus, just like in the traditional Christian denominations. Satan is behind that, of course, because he wants to blot out the Father. He wants to do away with the role of the Father. He's having great success doing that among lukewarm Christians and among families all over the nations of Israel. In the God Family Vision, this is the book I referred to it yesterday. We've got a copy up here today that I can draw your attention to. Here again, 1-866-930-3024. Wonderful book produced by this church 21, 22 years ago. Powerful vision, inspiring vision. In it, my father says, that was Christ's message for mankind. It was about the Father. Our Father is the head of that wonderful, majestic family. He said our number one passion must be to declare him and his family. That should be our number one passion. This should be what gets us most excited. The opportunity to declare the Father, to declare the Father and his family. To do that, we need to be more into the bosom of the Father. We need to think like the Father. We need to counsel with the Father. We need to reason together with the Father. It says God wants us to get deeply entrenched in his family. Jesus Christ led the way in declaring the Father. Now we're commanded to follow his example. We're the sons of God, it says. Our entire lives must revolve around declaring the Father. Isn't that an amazing statement? Our entire lives should revolve around declaring the Father. And then he goes on to say, this is the foundational truth of the Bible. I mentioned that yesterday. The foundational truth of the Bible. He says people who don't declare the Father are deceived. They don't understand the truth of the gospel. They don't understand the truth about Jesus Christ or his ministry. They don't understand what Jesus Christ came to this earth to do. Read it again, if you like. John 1 and verse 18. Jesus came to declare the Father. Let's look at Malachi 4 I mentioned these briefly yesterday as well, but we'll read them. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. It's just such a basic understanding for those of us familiar with the truth, for those of us that have studied books like The God Family Vision and Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong's final work. All of these books, all of these works, they should be in your library. We should be studying them regularly because they reveal so much about this foundational truth. This should be our passion. We should have a fierceness for building up and strengthening family, physically and spiritually. This should be our number one passion. Our entire lives should revolve around this God the Father vision. The role of the Father. It's so basic, so fundamental to everything that we believe and teach. Here it says about the end time Elijah, verse 5. And keep in mind, the original Elijah had already come and gone when Malachi is writing this. So this is obviously prophetic. And of course, there's a first century fulfillment in what John the Baptist came to do. But this is primarily for the end time. This is primarily for the last days. God would send an end time Elijah. And what would he do? Verse 5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the eternal, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse." So this really was a hallmark of the Elijah work. This was what he proclaimed throughout his ministry. It was a family vision, turning the hearts of fathers to their children and turning the hearts of children to their fathers. Now, you've got some, you know, pro-family organizations out in this world that will at least praise and promote the father. That's becoming something that is rare, though. But only in God's church, only in God's family, do you really get this message, the full extent of this message, to the extent that you understand that, well, this is the foundational truth of the Bible. Wow. If you want to be religious, you better be talking about this, because this is central to true religion. This is what we've got to wrap our minds around. You know, Herbert Armstrong, I just mentioned the example of Christ. Herbert Armstrong, his work was essentially to declare the Father. And he did that in a spectacular way because he too was in the bosom of the Father. He had such a special relationship with his God. And God gave him such a deep and unique understanding of that God family vision. This vision that has come under attack from every direction. Like I said in the first segment, I mean, consider the targets of these communists. They're going after family, right? These are family people, for the most part, driving the trucks and speaking up at these school board meetings. These are families with children that are being suspended or kicked out of school or accused of trespassing. Because they won't do what the educators say to do. Satan wants to destroy family because he wants to destroy the God family. He's not going to be able to do it. We're here to promote it. We're here to live it. We're here to put it into practice. Look at these networks. It's not even just that, you know, they're being canceled because of poor ratings. But look at, to just take CNN as one example, I mean, a couple of producers that are pedophiles, another on trial for sexual harassment, and then someone's run out of his job because he was covering up the crimes of his important brother, and then the connections. The fact that Zucker's mistress used to work for Andrew Cuomo, I mean, it's just a cesspool. Another guy at CNN that's caught in a sexual act on some kind of a Zoom meeting, and he's out for a few weeks or months, and then he's back. I mean, it's just the perversion that's just going on in the lives of these people. Forget about the news for a moment. I mean, we know all about the propaganda. And look, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. But these are vile, filthy sins that go unrepented of. There's no change. And yet, the voice, this is CNN. Oh, it makes it sound so righteous. You listen to Brian Stelter talk about his network, it's as if they can do no wrong. Reliable Sources, that's the name of his show. Jeff Zucker's been a close friend and confidant of Brian Stelter for years. And he's completely shocked, Stelter is, that something like this could have happened right under his nose. I guess his sources weren't so reliable there internally. This is just one example. That Jesse Waters segment, by the way, I think it was the part where he had the conversation with Glenn Greenwald. They just talked about how that so many of these communist rules and regulations that they put in place, they're coming back to bite them in the behind. They're ensnared by their own rules and regulations. Now, some of them they just get away with, the hypocrisy, take off the mask and so on. But Americans are wising up to it. They're not watching CNN. There's more, Sam sent me a link this morning, there's more Democrats watching Fox than CNN. Now, just think about that for a moment. They talk as if they have this righteous message, and Donald Trump is Hitler. He's Satan. He's Hitler, whatever. And yet, the numbers don't lie, do they? The numbers don't lie. 80,000 people at a Trump campaign? A convoy of trucks that goes on for 50 or 60 miles? And a third of a small town in Canada turning out to cheer on the trucks? The family is under attack. This is Satan's primary target. And within that family, of course, the biggest target of all is the Father, because it's a very type of God the Father. Notice Malachi 1 here in verse 6. It says in verse 6, and a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, God says, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Eternal of Hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name, my authority, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? Well, what are you talking about? We love your name. We honor you. Oh, really? God says to these Laodicean ministers, where is my honor? Why won't you honor the Father? Jesus Christ honored the Father. Jesus Christ declared the Father. In the Last Hour book, my father says this, there are many evil influences in this world that destroy our physical families. Satan knows he can destroy nations by destroying families. The physical family is only a type of God's family of love. Satan knows he can destroy God's church by destroying God's family vision. He says Satan destroyed God's work through the Laodiceans by getting them to dishonor their father. Satan destroyed their understanding of the Father. As a result, the church became divided. 95% of God's people stopped honoring the Father. It says that is how the Laodiceans broke their engagement with the Son. Now Christ is no longer able to lead them to do his work. They don't love God enough to do his work. That's from the Last Hour book. This is where Satan got to the Laodiceans. They stopped honoring the Father. Verse 11, this is Malachi 1 as well. It says, for from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, it says. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's a prophecy of God, a prophecy about God making the Father's name great over all the earth. That's coming. God speed the day when the name of the Father will be great in every nation, when the name and the authority and the position of the Father will be honored in every nation. In the God family vision, it says, we must make the Father's name great among the Gentiles, the whole world. They must be taught to honor the Father. That's what we're now being prepared to do. This is all part of our training. To the extent that we honor the Father today, we're being trained and prepared for what we're going to be teaching all nations in the wonderful world tomorrow. The book says, for this plan to work, God needs people now who are learning how to declare the Father. It is the fundamental truth of God's plan. What beautiful truth we have received. It's time we learn this deeply so we can teach the whole world. God wants us to get to the real depth of this truth. He wants us to proclaim this truth. He wants us to really take this fundamental truth out into every nation. And so practice it in your life, spiritually. Practice it in your marriage. Practice it in your household, your family. And in the process, prepare for that glorious calling. Again, you think about the role that every father is in. I mean, what more incentive do we need to step up our game and to really take on the responsibilities of fatherhood? This is from the God Family Vision book. Again, it says, parents, how will you prepare your children for God's work? It says you have a major responsibility to get them ready for that, to teach those little children why family, why marriage, why children, to declare the Father to them. You see, God gave us physical family in order to prepare for the God family. This is the most important lesson anyone can learn. This is the most important lesson we need to learn before we can build a family for God, to declare the Father. Every father, remember, is right in the place of God Himself. That's a very deep concept that God wants for us to wrap our minds around. What a blessing. What a blessing and honor it is. Mr. Armstrong made this point about just physical life and the fact that this life is a training ground, and it's such a blessing to be a human being and to have a human spirit and to be able to think and reason together with God, to have a godly type mind. And then when you look into the roles that are spelled out in Genesis 2, what God made from the beginning, male, female, just the two genders, and then the roles, the God-inspired, ordained rules, too. Jesus expounded upon it in Matthew 19, Ephesians 5, the marriage chapter. The God family vision, it runs right through the Bible from beginning to end. The Pharisees in Matthew 19 were trying to trip up Jesus Christ on the subject of marriage and family. And Jesus said to them, haven't you read from the beginning? Haven't you studied Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? Took them right back to the beginning. Took them right back to the beginning of God's truth, of God's teaching about marriage and family. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to call our operators to request the literature that I mentioned on today's show, and to email us if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.